You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extra. I'm Paul Hagan with Matthew Leach. Today we're going to talk to Todd Zlucki, the Phillies beat writer for MLB.com. Phillies are an interesting team, a team that 2 years ago won 102 games, but has really fallen off since then. Hoped to make some trades at the deadline that would restock the roster a little bit, but weren't able to pull off anything. So, Matthew, where do you think the Phillies are going the rest of the year?
Well, you know, they took a lot of heat for what happened or didn't happen in the deadline, but I'm not sure there's anything that they won't still be able to do in the offseason. So I think maybe a lot of what's going to be going on here is evaluation. Again, seeing more what they've got, what potential replacements they have for pieces they might move. You know, even though this is a team having a rough year, I think it's kind of an interesting team to watch over the last 2 months.
Phillies are a team that says they're not going to rebuild. They're just going to reload. So it'll be interesting to see what steps they can make in that direction the rest of the year.
We're now joined by MLB.com beat writer Todd Zlucki, who was probably expecting to have a little bit busier week last week. What exactly happened at the non-waiver trade deadline?
Well, yeah, it kind of depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the Phillies, they thought that they really just didn't get any offers that they thought were going to help the ball club. You know, I heard things about they were offered pitchers, you know, non-prospect type of pitchers for Marlon Byrd, you know, light-hitting outfielders, light-hitting infielders for Marlon Byrd. And they just, at that point, they were like, why are we going to trade this guy for nothing? Of course, other teams said that the Phillies' price tag was too high. So somewhere the answer is probably in the middle a little bit. But Phillies fans disappointed that they didn't take any steps to kind of turn over the roster a little bit, but I got to think that they're going to try to do something this month, and if they can't get anything done this month, then they're going to have to make some changes in the offseason.
Was there an urgency on their part? Was it a real desire and they were frustrated because it just didn't make sense, or does this organization not still really view this as a priority to start turning over the roster?
You know, there definitely was frustration. I can say that. There was a lot of frustration in the front office because they wanted to trade some of these guys. You know, they definitely wanted to trade a Papelbon and A.J. Burnett. They wanted to trade Cliff Lee, which isn't going to happen now because he's hurt and his season is pretty much over. So they definitely wanted to make some change. In terms of urgency, though, They were never ordered by ownership to kind of shed payroll. So there was never a situation where ownership went up to Ruben or team president David Montgomery and said, listen, I don't care what happens. You've got to get rid of A.J. Burnett. You've got to get rid of Cliff Lee. You've got to get rid of Jonathan Papelbon. Just get him off this roster one way or another. So they never got that order. So in the Phillies' minds, while they want to make changes, while they wanted to make it happen before July 31st, they're like, if we don't get anything that we deem is of value, then we're going to try to do it before the August 31st waiver trade deadline or again in the offseason. Now, you know, time will tell how that works out for them.
And that does kind of bring up, Burnett may be an exception, but, you know, it is a weird situation for this team because most of those guys are signed beyond this year, so it's not like they can't move them in the offseason. And it's also not like there are guys beating down the door. I mean, I guess that's really my question here is there anybody that they're really looking to make room for, or is it still just a matter of needing to restock the organization?
Well, they definitely are trying to restock the organization with some of these guys, but what I think is kind of interesting is they don't have, you're right, you said guys, they don't really have guys beating on the door. They don't have a lot of replacements for these guys either. So it's not like, you know, several years ago, I remember they had Placido Polanco at second base while Utley was coming up. So that was kind of a big talk. And then a year later, it was Ryan Howard's coming up with Jim Thome's at first base. And then a couple years after that, there was, you know, Shane Victorino was playing great in AAA. But Bobby Abreu is the Phillies' right fielder. Right now, you don't have any of those guys in the farm system ready to play at the respective positions. I mean, right now they're giving a long look to Grady Sizemore, who's kind of a reclamation project. But so there's a whole, this is it's such a complicated issue, I think, because of, you know, they didn't feel like they got any value in return. They don't really have guys to replace these guys, so that kind of gets them to think, you know, hey, what are we gonna, who are we gonna play if we trade all these guys? Who's gonna pitch next year if we trade all these guys and don't re-sign these guys? And the other reality is, you know, you're not really gonna be able to restock the farm system with A.J. Burnett and Marlon Byrd and Jonathan Papelbon, so how high should your expectations be, really?
And that sort of, that, I guess that's the interesting question here is, you know, that maybe it's just the contrarian in me, but, you know, this organization took a lot of heat last week, and I just am not sure I see what opportunity was lost. I mean, I think the one exception, again, like I said, is Burnett, who you got to think could bring something and is gone after this year, but beyond that, is there really any opportunity that they missed out on by July 31st that won't still be there this offseason?
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I was talking to some people about this last week. It's the frustration from the Phillies fan base has swung so far to one end that it's almost like no matter what the Phillies do, they're going to get killed for it. An example of that is last week before the trade deadline, there were reports out that Tampa Bay had a very high asking price for David Price. And, you know, most of the pundits were saying, well, of course they have a high asking price. And then there are other reports that the Phillies had a absolutely high asking price for Cole Hamels. And then they were kind of being mocked for it. So that's, I think, where some of the anger is coming from. But you're right. I do agree that when you really sit down and look at it, it didn't kill the Phillies not to trade any of these guys by 31st, other than, you know, there was no reason to really think they had to force themselves into a trade that they did not like. Because, again, you never know what can happen this month. A closer could go down, and all of a sudden a team that did not have any interest in Jonathan Papelbon might say, you know, we got to go get Papelbon now. You know, we're really close to winning World Series. We can't, with this guy's out there, we can't look back, you know, at the end of October with a blown save in a big postseason game and say, boy, we really could have used Jonathan Papelbon. Same thing with the right-handed bat for Marlon Byrd. So that's what the Phillies were looking at. You know, they felt like they didn't want to force themselves in a situation because, those, again, like you said, those guys are signed through next season and beyond. So they have this month, they have the off season, and for a guy like Cliff Lee, you know, if he can come back healthy next year and pitch well, there's next trade deadline, next July 31st trade deadline.
You mentioned Hamels, and to me, and not just to me, I mean, he's obviously the really interesting guy because on the one hand, he's the one guy who you could see being a core part of the next good Phillies team. On the other hand, that also means he's the one guy, even with a big contract, who could really reshape an organization and bring that kind of haul that you get when you trade away a key player. For all the talk about him, and it's come up a couple times, is he on the market, is he not, do they have any interest in moving him in order to make that swift move, or is the preference still to keep him around as part of the next good Phillies team?
The preference is definitely to keep him around as part of the next good Phillies team, but they did let teams know, you know, we will listen to you if you want an offer. Now, there was a report out there that the Phillies demanded that the top three Dodgers prospects. Source told me that was absolutely not the case, that the Phillies and Dodgers barely even had any extensive talks about Cole Hamels. In fact, they barely even talked at all before the trade deadline. But they did make it clear to teams that, yeah, if you're going to come call us about Cole Hamels, better come up with something legitimate. Like, don't waste our time and say, we'll give you our number eight ranked prospect and some middling double-A reliever. You know, you got to come at us with something seriously legit to make us think about it. Because in the Phillies' minds, you know, this is a guy who after this year is signed for four more years at around $95 million. And, you know, you can look at it a number of ways, but, you know, if Cole Hamels hit the free agent market after this year, he would probably sign for a lot more than 4 years and $96 million. He'd probably be a six-year deal. And so the Phillies kind of look at him as, rightly or wrongly, as a bargain in some measures because he's still a guy in his prime. He's 30 years old. They still expect him to pitch for a few more years at a high rate. And so that's why they're not really looking to deal him right now.
So while all this is going on, there is, in fact, a season to play, and there's 8 weeks of baseball left, and you had a piece this week on you know, reasons to keep an eye on the Phillies as the season goes on. And to me, the really compelling one and the other story that sort of gained a lot of traction is this Ryan Howard situation. I mean, what exactly is going on there? Is he going to is it going to kind of revert back to him being the guy? Is it going to be a platoon? What's the plan with Ryan Howard for the remainder of this year?
Yeah, it's kind of a mystery right now because a couple weeks ago, Ryan Sandberg was pretty confident in the way he was talking about how he's going to handle it. He said three things which I thought were very interesting for a guy that was in the middle of a $125 million contract. He said, I already know what Ryan Howard can do. I want to see what other people can do at first base. He said that. And then I asked him about, you know, Howard's deal and how that might affect his lineup. Ryan Sandberg looked at me and said, you know, this is about wins and losses, which is a pretty strong statement. And then the next day, when Howard got benched a third consecutive game, he said, going forward, I'll be thinking about a platoon type of situation. But then a couple of days later, Ruben Amaro Jr. said, I expect Howard to be our first baseman next year. And we've given absolutely no thought to releasing him in the offseason. Next thing you know, Ryan Howard started 8 of the last 9 games, including one game against a left-handed starting pitcher. So it really is kind of a mystery to me. But I think, you know, you look at Howard's numbers. I wrote about this. Historically speaking, as a cleanup hitter, he's on pace to have one of the worst years in the last 100 years for a cleanup hitter, just in terms of OPS, slugging percentage, on-base percentage. And, you know, at the very least, if they're going to play him every day, they might want to think about moving him down the lineup. But to me, it's something that's really going to be interesting to watch as the year goes on, because it's a team that recognizes they need to make some changes. So this would seem to be a decent place to maybe look at going forward if you're not able to turn over the roster until the offseason.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of beat writers get a chance to take a breath when August comes. I suspect that you are not one of them. Todd Zielecki, thanks for joining us here, and thanks for listening to MLB.com Extras.